Take your Bibles, turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, and we'll begin reading with verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Last week, in beginning to look at this particular passage of Scripture, these verses here, after a introduction that kind of went back to the first verse of chapter 6, and we covered a synopsis of this sixth chapter, because he said in verse 25, therefore, which automatically takes us back to the verse just preceding that and the whole context. Actually, you have to go back to chapter 5 and continue on through chapter 7, because this is a sermon, this is a message that Jesus was preaching, teaching to his disciples. Us preachers have heard for a good sermon 3 points and some sub-points and out, you're done. Actually, as I look at this sermon that Jesus preached, there are more than 3 major points and with the sub-points under it. But let that be as it may. But last week we covered, first of all, do not worry about necessities. Don't worry about necessities. That's what the take no thought means. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't trouble yourself. Don't be over troubled with the getting of these things. We said that Jesus is not reproving. The idea of work to make a living. But he is talking about being consumed with these things. Being consumed with getting more than is necessary. More than necessary for more than necessary. How? What? Well, didn't he just get done telling us. When we pray to our Father, give us this day our daily bread, our daily portion. So actually, in essence, when we're being labored beyond that, we're being consumed with the getting of those things. So don't be consumed with the getting of things. And in the course of this message, we're going to cover the fact. All you have is today. All I have is today. So I only need food, drink, and clothing for today. Right? Tomorrow will take care of itself. We may not have a tomorrow. But that is the essence of what we covered last week. This week we want to begin to look at our second point from this passage of Scripture. And it is simply, don't worry about your life and body. I said, don't worry about your life and your body. Don't be overly concerned with your life and body. Your life and body are worth more, much more than the food you eat. In the clothes you wear. Yes. How many of us have ever thought of that? Our life and body is worth more than the food we eat and the clothes which we wear. Verse 25 says, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Jesus didn't say this, but I would say this. Consider that. But the fact that Jesus said it, he wants us to think about that. Why then should we allow these things to consume and control our life? Your life and your body are much more precious than these things. And if you don't know what that is, we intend to bring it out later on. You can only eat and wear so much at one time. I remember when I was going to Christian college down in Clarksville, Tennessee, that there was a man, a young man, came in there, same age as I, who, it was a job just getting all his clothes into the apartment that he was going to live in, and he had a rack that reached from there to yonder, and it was just full of clothes. He never had to wear the same outfit twice in a year. More than enough is too much. And if too much, then you're just consuming it upon your lust. He's not the only individual that I've known. I've heard of that set of others who had changes in his clothes for 365 days a year. I've known primarily women, but some men could fall in the category too. I've known some women, they have a shoe fetish. And their closet is just full of shoes all over. Well, they got shoes for this outfit and shoes for that outfit and shoes for the other outfit. Is that not being overly consumed with these things? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 56. And I one time thought I'd like to get through this section in two messages. That's not going to happen. I've determined that this isn't too important a subject. This is a subject that so many of us today are troubled with. What I mean by that is we're guilty of it. Having too much. And wanting too much. Wanting more than is necessary. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 9. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. God here is accrediting His watchmen, the watchmen over Israel, as being of the beasts of the field, like the beasts of the field. And he says they're blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Well, sounds like he's talking about us. Greedy for his own gain. That's like the beast, he said. We last week had occasion to go down to Sebastian to a farm down there for where kids can and people can get up close to the animals and can even ride horses and so forth and they can feed the animals. They can take carrot sticks and feed some of the animals. And as we were watching some of the goats there, and my grandchildren were trying to hold the carrots out for a goat. Well, a goat would be trying to get the carrot, and another goat would come along and butt them out of the way. And that goat that was trying to butt them out of the way, he was wanting all the food and getting a large of it because he was being bullied. He likens us to that. Turn with me to the book of James. The book of James in chapter 4. In verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, your sensual desires that war in your members? Ye lust, you covet, he said, and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. In other words, you covet and you want more and you want more and you want more. You fight in war. Ye have not because ye ask not. Lord, I've asked for this for a long time. He said, you ask not. Well, how so, Lord? Look at verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Yeah. You're asking for selfish desires and selfish reasons. You're not asking for it to glorify God. You're asking for it because your desires and your passions, which are fleshly, desire them and want them. And therefore you have not. Now we know why a lot of our prayers seem to go unanswered, huh? Because we're asking them out of the desires and passions of the flesh. And we're not asking them of the spiritual. Life means more than just things. More than food and raiment. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in 127. Psalms 127. In verse 2. Well, let's read verses 1 along with it. Except the Lord build the house. Let us remember that. Except the Lord provide and give to us. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Listen, it's vain for you and I to be troubled and cared and consumed with the giving of things. We rise up early, we stay up late and in order to enjoy these things and get these things, and we enjoy them in our sorrows, in the midst of our sorrows. We sacrifice our spouses. We sacrifice our children. We sacrifice the people of God. We sacrifice the house of God. All in an effort to consume our lust upon things. He said, listen, the Lord gives his beloved rest. You cease from that. You cease from the overmuch care of these things, and the Lord will give you rest. You'll be surprised what you can be satisfied with, knowing the Lord gives you just what you need. There's rest in trusting the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Luke, and Luke in chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. But we think it does. The world measures success by the amount of the things that an individual has. Let us trust the Lord. The life and body is more than food, drink, and raiment. Number three, he says, don't worry about food and shelter. Don't be consumed with that. Don't let that consume you. God gives food and shelter to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field. Behold, he said in verse 26, behold, look at them. Study them. Learn from what you see around you. From studying the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. God's providence takes care of the birds. He'll take care of you. Now that doesn't mean they don't have to work for their food. They have to get out and hunt it. But God always provides for them. Amen. Whether they be a bird, a fowl given to carrion, or whether there be a fowl given to the grain. For years, well, being from a farming community up north where they grow a lot of soybeans and a lot of corn and a lot of wheat. And occasionally on the roadway, especially at stop signs and stuff, you're come up there and, oh, there's some corn spilled on the pavement that a truck had inadvertently dumped when he's taken off or stopping, or soybean or wheat. And if there was no cars, there a flock of birds are down there eating that grain, eating that food. The car would come up and they'd fly away until the car was gone, and then they're back down there again. God's providing for them. You find them in the fields. God's providing for them. You see the vultures, turkey vultures that we have so abundantly down here, especially this time of year. And that's God's ecosystem, cleaning up the dead carrion. God provides for them. Behold the fowls of there. They don't plant and they don't harvest and they don't store the harvest into storehouses in the barns. And then he gives an awe-provoking thought. Get you to consider the animal life, the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And then he gives us an awe-provoking thought. He said, are ye not much better than they? You're better than the birds. Are ye Are ye my disciples? Are ye my children of God? Are you not much better than they? We're a much higher level of creation than the animals. Are we not? Turn with me to the book of Job. And right now in my daily readings, I'm going through the book of Job. And every time I read through that book, I'm blessed. More just pops out. But Job chapter 35. And look what he says in verse 11. He said in verse 10, he said, none, basically that's the unrighteous, say, where is God my maker? Who give us songs in? Who teacheth us God? That is, none say about God who teaches us more than the beast of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven. Consider that. What's he teach to them? What they do is by instinct, what God has put in them. But to man, he is pleased to teach us his ways. He's pleased to teach us his word. He's pleased to teach us about himself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who did he say that to? He said it to the world of humanity. He didn't send his Son to die on the cross for the beast of the field, for the fowls of the air. He sent him to die on the cross for man. Amen. For you, disciple. For you, child of God. Are you not much better than the fowl of the air and the beast of the field? And the believer is a child of God. God is the creator of man and beast. But he is the believer's father. He said, our Father, which art in heaven. He's our Father. And we are heirs together with Christ. Are we not much better? And they turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 8. In verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We the saved, we that have the Spirit of God leading and directing us. We're in Christ, and we have His Spirit in us, causing us to cry, Father, Father, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
What beast of the field has that? What fowl of the air has that? They don't. There's a passage of Scripture that tells us that the spirit of the beast goes back to the ground from whence it came. But the spirit of man returns to God that gave it. So, if you're a pet lover, get your priorities straightened out. Now, I love my dog, but I got my priorities straight. It's just a dog. And if children, if your children, children of God, led by the Spirit of God, and have that Spirit in you causing you to cry, Abba Father. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Are we not much better than they? They don't worry. They just trust God's providence. And not we ought to? We who are much better than they? And not we ought to? Fourthly, and we'll go through this one quickly. Don't worry about your status. Are you concerned about status? Verse 27, it says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Well, a cubit, we know from, we've been in the scriptures long enough, we know a cubit is approximately 18 to 22 inches. Varied that much. I guess roughly the standard was about 21, 22 inches. Thereabouts. But it has to do with length. Stature. Stature. Can you have one cubit unto your stature? This stature, the word stature there, it has to do with age. Time of life. So, what he's saying is, can you by worry or by being troubled add to the length of your life? Boy, there's doctors drilling in you. You know, watch what you eat and exercise. Watch what you eat and exercise, and then you'll live longer. Well, can't, do we? We may have a better quality of life, but not necessarily so, because we recognize the providence of God even in what comes on us. There are folks that eat right and exercise, and I mean they exercise rigorously every day, and a lot of those folks still get cancer and die. And a lot of those folks still have heart attacks and die. Turn with me to the book of Job in chapter 7. Well, I know Job's in my Bible, unlike your Bible, Brother Ron. He's in my Bible. I've been reading him. Job chapter 7, verse 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? Now, to understand that properly, you got to understand what a hireling was. A hireling was someone who was hired just for a certain length of time. Are not our time on earth like that of a hireling? We're just here for a certain length of time. Amen. Turn with me to chapter 14. chapter 14. In verse 5. Seeing his days, man's days, are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Or my bounds have been set. I'm not going to live 1 minute shy of the bounds that have been set for me. I'm not going to live 1 minute longer than the bounds that have been set for me. And even through proper eating and exercise, seem to have a good quality of life. If God, by His providence, decides to give me cancer or give me a heart attack, and I die as a result of that, that was God's appointed bounds for my life. And it's so for you. Now, that being said, not saying not to eat right, and because we ought to eat right. We ought to take care of these bodies. Realizing that God is ultimately the provider. Disease and the length of our days are in His hand. But stature, and this is all under that same Greek word. Stature is also used as a metaphor. It says, an attained state, status. Oh, and man is looking to increase his status. You hear parents say, well, I want my kids to have it better than I had it. You hear kids say, I want to have it better than mom and dad had it. Status is something that is perceived by man. Are you troubled with adding to your status in life? If you are, you're just troubled with man's perception of what is a good status and what is a poor status. All these things that which men today are concerned with, are they not? They're concerned with adding days to their life and good quality of life. And they're concerned with status. But what's the Word of God say to us? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. He said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? You gain the whole world. Look at me, boy, I got good status now, right? I'm on top of the world. That was like that man in Luke chapter 12. If when we read verse 15, if we were to continue on, Jesus gave him the parable of the rich man who had a great yield of harvest. And he says, oh, I don't have any place to store it. Well, duh, give it away to the poor. There's plenty of poor. But no, he tore down his barns and built bigger barns, better barns. And he said, now I can set back and take my ease for many, many years to come. He had good status, didn't he? He had increased his status. But what did Jesus say about that man? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27. In verse 8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? What is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. Let me explain to you what a hypocrite is in Scripture. He's an actor.
Yes.
He's a pretender. As it applies to God's Word, he's pretending to be religious. He's pretending to be a child of God. But what did Jesus say about the hypocrites? The Pharisees. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they were just play acting. They were hypocrites. Hypocrites, not a saved individual. Why should we be as the hypocrites? Who live this life in pretense. And when they die, they go to hell. If we're a child of God, if you're a child of God, we don't need to play act. We don't need to be. And that's in a later verse. He said, for all these things do the heathen, to the Gentiles, seek after. Oh, they're concerned about. They're busy about. That's what that word seek there means. It's different from what seek ye first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, we don't have to act like the world. We're children of God.
Amen.
We ought to be living as pleasing to the Lord, trusting the Lord. And not being worried about these things. Well, we'll continue there next week.